You're listening to Bigfoot Live, starring Thomas Gardy, the world's most respected authority on the phenomena known as Bigfoot. Sit back and relax as we take you on a journey into the world of the unknown. Believer or skeptic, man or woman, you will be mesmerized by real people telling real descriptions about real encounters. Fasten your seatbelts, America. It's reality radio at its finest, and it starts now.
My whole life changed. I saw the Roger Patterson film on the Johnny Carson show. And I gotta tell you, that's the day I thought I was gonna challenge the world and go out and find this thing.
We had found like 12 tracks on the ground. I didn't want to believe it was Bigfoot.
There he is.
Did you hear that?
He's moving right now. He's moving right now. He's straight out of the tree line. He's moving to the right. See him? He's going to the right. He's going into the trees right now. Come here, look.
I'm Bob Hallmark, and I'm a reporter with ABC Television and Tyler Longview. It's been my pleasure to be with Tom Scotty and his team tonight, and I have to admit that I was skeptical when I came out here. I thought we, at this time in our history, had the technology to be able to find one of these things if it existed. But after seeing the footprints and the dig marks in the sand and what I believe to be a very large creature running at a high rate of speed through the woods, I convinced them I had to change my opinion on Bigfoot. I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized they were something special and probably Sasquatch.
When I landed on the ground, I was kind of thinking, this ain't no human being. It's got to be something else.
www.searchingforbigfoot.com.
Out in the swamps, what you think I've seen? Something strange, you know. Sasquatch sitting on his cypress knee, and he was talking to Moccasin Joe. Where the party they gonna have? Out in the St. John's swamps. Sasquatch doing a brand new dance, and he called it the Bigfoot Stomp.
Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Marco Bill on the Bigfoot Live broadcast. And folks, it's that time of the week again. It's time for the Wednesday evening Bigfoot Live radio show with our host, Mr. Tom Descarty. And now, everybody, the man who put the big back into Bigfoot, our host and renowned Bigfoot researcher, Mr. Tom Biscardi. Good evening, Tom. How are you tonight?
Wonderful, Marco. How are you?
Superb. Superb.
I like superb. Superb is a good word for this evening. As we're sitting here camped out on the top of a mountain in the Ouachita National Forest, on the Kiamichi Mountain Ranges, looking up through the tops of the trees and wondering if our big hairy creature is going to come up and nudge us while we doze off in our chairs looking for him tonight. We just don't know, you know? You know, we've been on an expedition now. This is coming up on the third. We just had an incredible week with our buddies Clay and Eric and Dee down in Texas. And, you know, folks, we figured out that, well, it's pretty much summertime again up here in the mountains. I mean, it's been 80 degrees. The ticks are everywhere. We're pulling them off our bodies. Eric had to explain to me, Ben, you better watch it. Because, you know, you'll take care of them. You'll get the flea collars and the sulfur patch and the bug spray, but you'll still have 200 on you. The people that didn't use it will get 400. I have to say, I've got already three that I took off me, and it gave me the jitters having them little red, white spotted ticks on my body. So, here's the breakdown. We're trying to get a hole ahead of the creatures. Because it's everything turning green again, I'm thinking that the creatures are thinking it's time to migrate back north. There's a little confusion. We had a very short winter. I mean, we really didn't even have a winter this year if you look back at it. February is supposed to be the coldest month. January is even colder. But nothing, not even up where I'm from in Indiana. So possibly I followed the map and I realized the Red River is running into the Ouachita, which is running into the Kiamichi, and then into Ozarks. We're going to try to get ahead of these creatures and try to do something here real soon. But without further ado, I've got my good friend Doyle Halcombe. He's calling it all the way from Kentucky. And I told him I'd get him on first because he's going to give us the updates about what's going on. Doyle, how are you this evening?
Well, I'm doing fine. How's everybody doing?
Fantastic.
Great.
You know,
Big Tom, how are you?
This is TJ.
Okay, I got you, TJ.
There you go. And you've got
big shout out to your dad. I want to tell you guys that your museum exhibition here in Middlesbrough, Kentucky, is doing wonderful.
Outstanding.
We've got people coming from three states to see this exhibition that you've got down here at the Carnegie Museum. And it's one of the biggest hits in town. And I just want to congratulate you guys on that right there.
Thank you, Doyle. You know, well, we've got that creature in there from the 2008 hoax, and he's stuffed, and he's standing tall, and he's representing Searching for Bigfoot, isn't he?
Absolutely, and we're getting, like I say, we get thousands of visitors through here every day from the National Park over here at the Cumberland Gap, and everybody stops by and sees the Carnegie Museum here in Middlesbrough, and you guys have a special place in our heart down here for your exhibit that you've given us because of the increased sightings and everything that goes on here in the Appalachian Mountains, especially in Kentucky. And we appreciate you guys really a lot for donating all that to the museum.
Well, you know, Doyle, I spent 10 years of my life living in that town with you. And, you know, we never even knew each other until the last 2 years before I left.
Well, we're best friends now, but let me tell you what's going on.
Tell me. Go ahead.
We've had a mild winter down here in the Appalachian Mountains. And we've had a lot of hunters in the woods. And we just got through with our biggest deer season in history. And it's just incredible at the sights and the sounds and everything that everybody's seeing, and they're calling into me because I'm the Kentucky investigator for your agency.
Yep.
And I'm telling you, I'm getting phone calls every day by hunters, by people that are unrefutable people that see and hear things, and they're on their trail cams that they place when they're hunting. It's just crazy. It's going Bigfoot wild down here right now. It's just going crazy.
Gotta love it. Anything in particular stick in your mind?
Actually, I've got one story I got to tell you about this one fella. I can't mention his name right yet because he does have a felony conviction on his record. He's not allowed to own a firearm. But we had an instance where he had an encounter with a Fish and Wildlife officer from here, and they were over at the Bird Branch Rock Quarry where the Cumberland River runs into. And they were fishing, him and his buddy were fishing.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, he was a convicted felon. I'm not going to give him any credit for that. You know, whatever he done was his problem. But he said that I almost went back to prison over Bigfoot.
Why?
I asked him, I said, well, tell me exactly what you mean. And he said that he was over there fishing with his buddy, and a Fish and Wildlife officer, a full law enforcement officer, came up to those guys.
Mm-hmm.
And was checking their fishing license, making sure everything was acute. And while they were doing that, something started throwing rocks from the quarry. Now,
wow.
I don't mean rocks. I don't mean like rocks. I'm talking about 40-pound boulders across the river at them. Well, while that happened, there were two wild turkeys roosting in a tree on the same side of the river that the creature was throwing the rocks from.
Right.
They witnessed the creature climb up a tree and take two wild turkeys by force and kill those wild turkeys at the base of the tree and eat on them.
Oh, my goodness.
And they sit and watch this. They sit and watch this happen. And the guy that I'm talking to was so scared of the creature, his partner had a shotgun up in the truck above their fishing campsite. So he ran up there and grabbed the shotgun in front of the law enforcement officer, knowing that he had a convicted felony and he could not possess a firearm. But he came back and fired a shot across the river at the creature because he was so scared. Well, needless to say, he never got charged with possession of a firearm because the Fish and Wildlife officer witnessed it, too.
Amazing.
Hmm.
Now, wow. Ain't that a story?
That's a story, and you got to get some information, get me some names and numbers so I can talk with these folks.
Oh, I've got their names. I've got their numbers. I'm fielding complaints down here, Tommy, every other day. I'm fielding complaints. You know, I'm your lead Kentucky investigator right now. And
right.
I'm fielding complaints, and every complaint I get, I'm doing a case report on.
Oh, good.
I'm doing a case report on every one of them. But I'm telling you, it's getting crazy down here. The Appalachian Mountains are full of Bigfoots.
We're probably going to have to make our way that direction here on the next trip because that just kind of works my way back into that theory about them migrating back north already and kind of playing while they're doing it.
Yeah, it's getting crazy right here. And like I say, through the Appalachian Mountains, we and you done a special on the news not long ago, you know, whenever the last expedition was out and I was with you. And they're going through these coal mines. They're taking shortcuts through the mountains, and they're just doing everything down here. This place is full of activity.
I gotta love it. I'm excited. I cannot hold. Well, there's a little bit of anticipation, but we're gonna get out there. I promise you. As soon as we get a chance, we're gonna cut that direction here. Before we have a little respite in between this, you know, we've been out here in the Wachita Kiamichi. I'm heading up towards Mount Magazine here probably tomorrow, and I got a contact that actually, check this out. He just contacted me from us being in town earlier this morning, and he found out that we were here, and he got my card somewhere when I left on one of the stores. He says that in November, him and his cousins, they own a hunting lease down here in Oklahoma, east of or west of Broken Bow, and they had rocks thrown at them, tree knocks, howls at them, you know, trying to scare them off that lease. And he asked us tonight if we'd come down and meet him Friday. He'll get off work and come up here and spend two nights, Friday and Saturday, trying to figure out what's going on and what it's doing. We all know what it is, and we'll figure it out. But that's just some of the story that's going on around here.
I'm telling you, man, it's just getting hot. We've had a mild winter, and I think the migration process is going to be a lot different than it has in the past few years. We've only had one big snow here this year,
yeah,
and we usually stay covered up, but it's just the mild winter. I'm telling you, man, the activity's out there. We got to go out there and find them.
Sounds good, buddy. Hey, I appreciate you coming on tonight, just kind of listening if you like. And we're going to move off to our next guest. His name is the Eric Henlein. That's like the Rocky Slavens. And you have to understand, Eric, when I give somebody the, okay, you are the Eric Henlein. Now, folks, I got a phone call. It was in January. Eric had been hunting. He was hog hunting about 1,000 acres out here in, over there in Texas on a little place called Horseshoe Bend on the Red River. Now, we spent some time. We spent 5 nights, me, Eric, Clay, the team, out there in the woods. We had some tree knocks and we had some screams our first night. And the second night, it was pretty quiet. The third night, there were things that you really couldn't discern. It could have been a creature screaming, but you really don't know. But we lucked out. I'm going to let Eric tell the story. We actually got permission to go on the other side. And what transpired was it within our day and night and the luck we got with the farmer coming in and saying he was going to do something. So why don't you go ahead and start off, Eric?
Hey, how are you doing, TJ?
Very good, buddy. Very good. Thank you for the
invite. Hoping you're enjoying. I'm hoping you're enjoying those lovely little ticks and the Kayamichis.
Yeah, I'm loving them little. What do you call them? Seed ticks.
Seed ticks.
Seed ticks. Yep. I don't like them because you can't see them. Unless you put your glasses on, then you can feel them. I was popping them off, bleeding on my belly here, a little below my waistline. And I was finding them all around there. But that's what we do. We're out here, you know, trying to solve a mystery, a myth. And
well, absolutely. It's like Doyle said, man. It's a warm winter. You know, I think like he was saying, the activity level it spiked the 1st of January. Kind of like where we were at down there, you know, usually around the 1st of January is what kind of peaks down there around Horseshoe Bend and Brown Springs and the Red River, because deer season's wrapping up.
Audrey?
Right.
Are you there?
Go ahead.
Okay, sorry. And, you know, it's just kind of elevating pretty much all across the, you know, the Red River and heading up the Kayamichis up into the Ozarks.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, we had a great time when you were down here, man. I mean, there was a lot of compelling things that were going down. I mean, you had us on the Texas side with you, and D was on the Oklahoma side, and man, there was a lot of interesting things going on. You know, all those tree breaks that we found down there on the river, and the howls and the knocks that woke you guys up in the middle of the night. You know, I mean, when something wakes you up in the middle of the night, you know it was loud from a sound sleep.
It wanted us out.
It did. Absolutely. Yeah. It doesn't want anybody down there.
You know
that area that we were in, I'm a firm believer, like you said, I think that's a hunting ground. I think they stay across the river and after dark, you know, they move across the river. It did. We kind of ran into a little more activity than what we wanted to towards the end of your stay there, you know, with them burning the fields and, you know, people showing up to watch the fire and whatnot. But, you know, across the river, you know, the water came up on us. And
yep.
I think that shut them down coming across. But, you know, D, I think, had a pretty good experience across the river. You know, he was saying that they were getting eye shine at, you know, 30 and 40 yards.
Yeah, that's right. You know, when he talks about the fire, we kind of lucked out. We were on the east side or the west side these last couple of nights, and we were given the west side a little, you know, quiet time to kind of settle in because we had been there for 3 or 4 days. And the farmer come in and said that he was going to burn off his 1,000 acres. I mean, and right then it pops into our mind. If the wind stays where it's going, coming back to the west, those creatures are going to be driven our way, you know. Now, while the fire was going on and we were all sitting there doing our investigating and kind of looking through the thermals and everything, a gentleman that was with us, something happened to him. Why don't you tell what happened?
Yeah, a friend of ours. We were sitting there and sitting around the fire and I was walking in front of him, and as I walked in front of him, I heard something pop him on his jacket, and he kind of looked and turned to me, and I looked at him for a split second, and he was like, "Who threw that at me?" You know, he said something hit me in the shoulder, and I said, you know, I told him, I heard it hit your shoulder. You know, I heard it hit your jacket, not your pants, but your jacket. And, you know, we instantly started to look, you know.
Sure.
And, of course, like always, you don't ever see anything. But, you know, I mean, it was things that make you go, huh.
Make you go bump in the night, you know.
Exactly.
You know, you mentioned D a few times. I'd like to bring D in with us here, you and me. And if D would go ahead and kind of tell us about what he was doing on the other side pushing towards us and explain what he saw. D, you with us?
Yeah. Yes, sir. Like you said, when y'all were on the Texas side, you know, I primarily worked just that strip up the Red River going east on the Oklahoma side, what I call Brown Springs. And when you guys were over there, I was getting a lot of activity. In my mind, I was saying, you know, if they're over there with all this activity, maybe some of them would be pushed back to what your father made me realize is where they bed down.
Right.
And sure enough, I mean, every night I went in there, the first night, I could barely get out of the vehicle before we're hearing, you know, bipedal movements around us and that heat sinker, like I told you. Every time I pointed at something, I mean, it was registering, you know, something big. You know, I hear the noise, hit it with the heat seeker, and, I mean, it was registering as more than a squirrel. I'll put it that way.
Right.
And, but yeah, I mean, it was a fantastic experience, and it was a big piece of the puzzle that you guys just gave me. Because, you know, I've worked that area 8 months, 9 months, I'm around there, and I didn't understand why they were so close to people and, you know, why they didn't move. There wasn't a lot of food. There wasn't a lot of, deer tracks or hog tracks or whatever in the area. But right across the river is I saw more tree breaks than I've ever seen in one area in my entire life.
Yeah. You know, the creatures have to eat. They have to get to a spot where, I guess it's the same old adage. You don't shit where you eat either. So, you know.
Hey, absolutely. And even, you know, if you look at it through the lenses of their opportunistic eaters, I mean, these things aren't small. And to keep up that body mass, you know, you're going to have some high-protein diet. And that's where they're getting it.
Right.
Yeah, I'm a firm believer. They do not pass up a meal.
Absolutely.
I don't care what it is, skunk, possum, dead Bigfoot, whatever. I think they're opportunistic eaters. They're going to eat whatever they can get their hands on.
Yes, sir.
We're all in agreement on that, majorly. You know,
but, yeah, you and your team just kind of opened my eyes and my perspective past, you know, where I've been to push a little bit further, dig a little bit deeper.
Well, you know, Dee, welcome you. You know, you're part of the family now as well as Eric is. And, you know, to solve this enigma, this mystery, it's going to take more than just us. But we're going to all have to kind of conjoil all our information together. We got Doyle in Kentucky. We got you in Oklahoma. We got Eric in Texas. We got Clay in Texas. We got Rocky in Arkansas. And when generals go to battle, they have to get information. You know, and that's what we do. We share our information, all of us together. So hopefully we can put
Absolutely.
An end to this mystery here real soon, you know. I have to tell you, this Broken Bow, Honobi, Beaver's Bend area that we're in tonight seems pretty good. I mean, we're here. I started hearing the coyotes, like, you know, right at dusk, like Eric taught us. And, you know, they're popping around us. I've also seen two bobcats since we've been here, which kind of made me kind of wonder. They had nice fur on them. And I'm thinking to myself as I'm watching these bobcats, I wonder if the creature would chase them and take them down and eat them. You know what I mean?
Right.
You know,
they'll take anything they can put their hands on, I think.
Yeah, I absolutely believe that. And speaking of vocalizations, I heard the loudest vocalization I've heard since I started this, the night that you guys, it was your second to last night, I believe.
Okay.
And we all heard this at the same time. You guys over on the Texas side and you over on the Oklahoma side. It was phenomenal.
Yeah, yep.
Just that big, long howl?
Yep.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, we got it on that side, too. It was faint. We kind of figured where you were at. We started figuring out the distance. You were actually about 7 miles from us. And
wow. Well, if it was same for you guys, it was coming from our side. I do believe that.
It did. It came from the west.
Yeah. Yep. You know, we got to meet a couple, some of your local color there, Eric. And I guess it could be your local color also, Dee, because they claimed to own the Red River, didn't they?
They did.
I saw that video today. That's hilarious.
You got to give a shout out to the Red River Mafia.
Big time. Red River Mafia, shout out to you guys. Thanks for taking us out on the river and, you know, giving us a river view of both sides of the Red River from where we were at down towards the Brown Springs area. And I wanted to give a shout out to Levi. Levi was our boat captain. And then Keaton, was it Keaton, Eric?
Keaton. Yeah, it was Keaton.
Keaton was a character. Whoa, was he a character, folks? Keaton liked his beer. He liked his beer. He enjoyed that beer like it was liquid honey to him, I'm sure. We were actually following some tracks along the Red River, and these five boats come rolling up on us with, you know, well, there must have been, I don't know, 2, 4, 6, 8, at least 10 people in them. And, you know, they tell us that a lot of strange things happen on that Red River. And I'm not saying that the Red River Mafia does anything like that, but, you know, they've heard their strange things, seen weird stuff, but never nothing definitive for them. You know, Dee and Eric and Clay, I want to thank you guys for the wonderful week we had. You know, sometimes I explain to people there's 99% boredom and 1% sure of terror in this. But there's one thing that you could always guarantee. You're going to meet great people, build relationships, and friendships, you know, while you're Bigfooting, squatching, hunting the creature. And, you know, I've made two brothers, Dee and Eric, and three brothers that I know I can count on in that area from here on out.
Yeah, I mean, you're absolutely right. And, even, you know, this is hypothetical because I'm not going to stop. You know, I'd have to be wheelchair bound and hospitalized before I'll stop going out in those woods. And if I'm not in the woods, just like I am right now, talking to people, gathering information. But this is an outpost for anybody in your crew. You're more than welcome, as you know. And, I mean, you taught me a lot in just the week you were here.
Well, thank you very much, Dee. We really appreciate
it. Did anybody follow up on that Horseshoe Bend RV park, the lady that saw something over there?
I'm doing that right now. I'm going to be hitting that this week, brother.
Okay. You know, a couple, you know, 2 weeks prior to that, we had some friends that were up the road riding side-by-sides, and they had an experience. I mean, it couldn't be more than a mile away 2 weeks earlier. And they were shutting it down for the afternoon, you know, fixing to make their fire and everything. And they have to look up and see something down there standing by their bikes. They hollered out, and the thing took off.
The report I got through the Bigfoot Dogman Research Project, lady was standing down there. It was the exact same thing. It was a passive, you know, sighting, but the thing was standing there right behind the RV park looking at them. As soon as she, you know, drew her attention to the creature, it turned around and casually walked off.
That's awesome. That was like less than a quarter of a mile from us.
Absolutely. And I got to get with you, Eric, because you saw what I refer to as the alpha male. That still blows my mind.
You know, if you can refresh the listeners about your alpha male, Eric.
Do what?
If you could refresh and let our listeners know about your alpha male sighting that you had in January 7th.
Well, I'll give you the alpha male sighting that I heard. Because my ears saw it, my eyes didn't. But we'd been down there pig hunting and in Jimmy's field, and you know, just like I don't know how many other hunters out there used to have those rechargeable Q beam spotlights. You know, we ran two of them, and you know when those things go out, they go out. And so we approached the field. You know how long that walk is. You know it's 2 miles down in there. And 1:30 in the morning, 17 degrees. It's been quiet for a long time, and at this time, you know, that big coastal field was nothing but a wheat field. And we ease in there, we sit down, and we get ready to start shining, and right behind where we walked in, you know, probably 300 yards, 400 yards where we're sitting from, you just hear the biggest tree break and tree fall and crash. You know, I mean, it was enough to turn around and go, damn, you know. I mean, it's loud as hell, loud as hell. You know, not a stitch of wind. Your breath's going straight up in the air. You know, I'm no researcher. You know, I'm a guy that likes to go out and shoot pigs. And so we blew it off. And right. So we proceeded on hunting that field until our light started to die. We walked that whole perimeter of the field. You know how big it was. I mean, it's a big field. It got to the point where when you hit that button on that spotlight, it would come on and go instantly right off. I mean, it was less than half a second, you know, and you're like, all right, it's time to go. And so we come walking out, and instead of going out the way we came in, we kind of walked that fence line around that other fire break. And, I mean, we walked right up on top of this thing. I mean, we were within, man, I'm not joking, 20 feet. Hmm. And this thing let loose with a – with a scream, holler, whatever you want to call it, that just went completely through you. You know, I mean, the words couldn't express. If you could imagine walking up on a T-Rex and it bent down and roared in your face, that's exactly what it was like. And I've got a 300 Win Mag on my shoulder, and a buddy of mine's got a 30-06. I mean, I instantly shouldered the gun. I said, man, that's a good way to get yourself shot. And then instantly you could just hear the deepest, strongest exhales, inhales. You could hear the moisture coming through its nostrils. I mean, it's right there. Right. But there's no moon. You can't see it. So I went to say something, and this thing let loose again. So I just said, back up, back up. So we backed up. There was an old combine right there. And I said, if it's coming after us, at least we've got something behind us. It's going to have to come over the back of it to get us. But we took a knee, and I just started aiming my gun to the top of the trees. And I was waiting for something to break that tree line, and I was going to shoot it right in the face. I mean, I can tell you what it wasn't. It wasn't a deer. It wasn't a bear. It wasn't a cow, a horse, camel. It was nothing I've never heard before, and I've heard pretty much everything that's in the state of Texas.
Yeah.
And, you know, unbeknownst to us, there was two of them. You know, we sat there what seemed like a lifetime, but, you know, it was probably all of about 7 minutes. And all of a sudden we hear two distinct just footsteps going up the hill, up towards where we were camping last weekend. And but the other one hasn't moved. It's positioning him between us, you know, us and the other one. And,
right.
I tell you what, I mean, we're on flat ground. You saw what it looked like, what I showed you. You know, and like I said, I saw it with my ears. It was at least 11 feet tall. It was monstrous. I mean, when this thing took a step, and it was stepping lightly, but you could feel the weight of its body. I mean, it was just like you could feel the impact tremors, just like, you know, like those cows that ran by us.
Yeah.
You know, you could feel it in the ground. And
yep.
That's exactly
that thing will
it was. It was walking off. It wasn't like it was marching or running. It was just walking. You could feel the impact tremors. I mean, it was large. It was extremely large. And
yep.
The stuff that it was grabbing onto, you know, pulling itself up that hill. I mean, it was stepping on trees, and I mean, it was just literally splintering.
Amazing.
You know, like you said, you know, it's 99% boredom and 1% sheer terror. It was sheer terror.
Yeah.
You know, we walked out of that place backwards, and our heads were on a swivel. You know, I mean, it was just
what's coming
the whole time. The whole time out, I don't think we said a word. You know, I was just ready. I was ready for this big black object to cross that rock road, and I was fixing to start laying down fire.
Wow.
You know, that was fascinating. I mean, the way you explained that, it was November when I had that sighting. Like, Eric, I know you know what I'm talking about. second or third, and they're past Brown Springs. You know, that's the entrance to my area. It was a field surrounded by, you know, on three sides by woods and thickets. I go in there. I look to the left, going down that gravel road, and I thought I saw the biggest tree in Oklahoma. You know, it was the first time I'd ever been in there at dawn. And, you know, I drive into the little cove that's the entrance to the area, and I sit there for a minute. I smoke a cigarette, and I'm sitting thinking, like, what kind of tree could that be? I mean, it's not the Kayamichis. I mean, we don't have, like, you know, giant redwoods or anything. So I back up, and there it is in the same spot. It took it was the length of smoking a cigarette, so 5 minutes. It's still standing in the exact same spot. By this time, the sun's coming up. It's hidden. You can see the dew on its coat. And, I mean, when you said 11 feet tall and just massive, you could feel the earth shake, that was this thing. And it was built for business. Like, when I went back and measured it, I couldn't see its head because it was standing on the other side of this tree line. But when I went back and measured the tree line, the leaves started at about 12 feet up. And, I mean, that's the only part I couldn't see, thank God, was the face and the head on it. And, I mean, even with the coat, you could see the muscular nature of this thing. I mean, it was built for business. It was ripped. And, that, you know, I've been going in that area for quite some time, you know, day in, day out. And I thought that I saw everything there was to see. And I, you know, kind of gotten, I don't want to say spoiled, but I didn't think I could be surprised. But there wasn't anything else in there that I'd seen before or after that that was like this thing. That's why I call him the alpha male. He has to be.
Well, you know,
if he's not, we're in trouble.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, and I'm wondering, keep reiterating, communication, sharing your information, and working together. Because without all three of us introducing each other to each other, we would have never known. Because when you talked about your alpha male, you were talking to me, Eric popped up and his eyeballs were, whoa, that's like the one that I saw.
And yeah, absolutely.
You know, we have to work together.
There's no reason to be greedy. There's nothing to be greedy about. You have this information with people out there like Mr. Biscardi's team. Share it. That's how we're going to solve this thing. I mean,
that's
sharing
right.
the information.
And
well, you know, we're
gentlemen,
go ahead.
You know, close to each other. So, you know, but they never met, but they shared the same instance of going out and checking, looking for the Bigfoot.
And that's helped me beyond what I could even express, because that's the one incident I don't even like talking about, just because of the sheer size of the thing. You know, I stay grounded in reality when it comes to my research and my investigations, but just the sheer size of this thing, I mean, that's, you know, taking a little, just dipping your toes into some unrealistic waters just for the sheer size.
Right.
Right.
But
well, you know, the nice thing about this area here is that, you know, I mean, it's mostly public land, you know, so... You know, this is stuff that's accessible year round. You know, and you talk about rich culture of weird things going on, all the way from Dexter to Kalisburg, back to the, you know, Horseshoe Bend, all the way up to 35 Bridge, Brown Springs. You know, I mean, there's a reason why people are seeing these things, because this is their haunt. This is where they like to. This is their area. You know, and it's, you know. It's going to take time to figure it out, but eventually I think some compelling video could probably come out of there. You know, absolutely. You know, it's just you're not gonna find something sitting on the shitter.
Absolutely. I mean, hey, don't sell me short. I got some pretty good footage out of there now. Huh? I'm not Martin Scorsese.
I gotta give kudos to Big Tom, man. I'm gonna tell you, TJ's dad is a trooper. You know, I was kind of worried about him walking down in there. And I don't know how old he is, but I'm going to tell you right now, he sucked it up, manned up, and, I mean, he was down there. He was investigating, walked out. You know, I don't think I ever really heard him huffing and puffing. He was just like, you know, and to me.
From an investigator standpoint, when I found out that he was going down there to the police station, when he was showing up, asking the questions that I asked, but I have no pull or power to get answers. When he said, oh, well, I went to this police station to ask this, you know, the gentleman who was the journalist who was in a place where he shouldn't have been as far as an investigation done by the police, when he said that name to me, I said, this guy is the real deal. He's not down here for publicity or fame. He's beating up, he's beating the bushes and making sure people are doing their jobs. And he's coming down here to get with the people and find out what's going on.
Yeah, he wants answers.
Yeah, he wants, he demands them. All the respect in the world for that guy.
You know, guys, he's not with us, but I guarantee you I will pass on to him and let him know, you know, your guys' sentiment. You know, Eric and Dee, I want to thank you guys both. I'm running up. Marco, what time is it?
It's 7:40.
We got 9:41 Central Time.
Okay, so I got 20 minutes left. Eric and Dee, I want to thank you. Please just stay on. Don't hang up. I got to get to all the other guests, and we all might have some questions and answers here at the end. I've got Leo, Mr. Leo, Doyle's best friend, out there in North Carolina checking in to give us an update of what's happening near the Uwari. How are you?
Hey, what's going on, TJ? How's everybody doing tonight?
Doing good, brother. Thank you.
Good. I went down. You know, it's ironic that you guys are talking about when you're talking about the areas in Oklahoma and Texas. One of the things that I found that I think is very interesting is that when you go back to the Native Americans and when you find hieroglyphics that show these creatures existing, a lot of the areas that we're in were inhabited by Native Americans. This is one particular instance that I look at is when you look at all of your natural forces, your state forces that were inhabited by the Native Americans, it's always been some kind of Sasquatch activity. I went down to the Uwari. I went to the outpost where there's a lot of talk, listening to a lot of the talk around the local eateries down there. And it's a particular area on the backside of West Morris Mountain, which is the Dutchman Trail. Spend some activity over there. I'm trying to gear up to go check it out. A lot of the people that love this terrain vehicles and these Jeeps and things of that nature. It's been a couple of people that have seen a couple of footprints, heard some vocalizations. And I think it's more than what you think, because I think it's a large number of people in your Uwari Forest that see stuff, but they're just not ready to come forth and do any kind of statements or interviews because they think they're going to be ridiculed. Well, I'll tell you, like I told somebody the other day, TJ, if you look on news, the breaking news that you see, scientists just found several planets that exist that is the size of the planet Earth. So you can't tell me Bigfoot don't exist. You can't tell me that. You know, you can't tell me that. So, but you know, and also too, I think they are migrating. I think what they do is they'll try to move to warmer climate. But I think it's a little different here down south on the East Coast. I think in North Carolina, you know, North Carolina has some weird weather. I mean, it could be 20 degrees one day, and the next day it's warm enough to go jump in the pool. So I think they're pretty steady around here and in the Uwari Forest. I know it's been a couple of sightings that I did a little research online and went to a couple of websites of what people have seen in Guilford County, the county I live in, and the neighboring county that I grew up in. It's just these sightings have not been reported. So I think it's getting more and more prevalent that these sightings are out now. I really do. And I think it's a lot of people that will start coming forward.
Like you said, and maybe more people are coming out of the woodwork because they're realizing there's groups like us and all the friends that we know across the U.S. that won't ridicule them, that will ask them questions. We'll sit and explain our stories. And there's always something that clicks, you know. Like I'm always seeing the creatures and hearing them where there's heavily populated deer and pig places. And when you're talking to somebody else, they're like, I didn't want to say this, but, you know, they were chasing a deer or chasing a pig. And, you know, that's when the ice gets broken. You have to get out on the road. You have to go on the expedition. You have to deal with these chiggers and these ticks. And you got to deal with the woo people every now and then. But, folks, as long as you do it and you follow your nose, the right questions will be answered. You'll get the right answers to those questions. You know, we're chasing the creature. I know he's moving back north. We're getting sightings that are coming up north. When we were down in Gainesville, and I thought to myself, we got to jump ahead of them. We got to get ahead of them because we got to get in front of them where we can play linebacker, and hopefully they'll start migrating to the area that we're going to be at. It's not an easy, glamorous life, guys. I mean, you ask Eric. We spend 5 days and nights out in the woods, and, you know, you're walking 6 to 8 miles a day. You add that up by 5 days, you got 30, 40 miles. And that's just going into the research area, not wandering around and meandering and slowly picking at, okay, why is this blade of grass broken? Why was this leaf disturbed, you know? And that takes time. And it wears on you, money, energy. You know, there are other groups out there that, like Eric calls them, they sit on that shitter and they get that phone out and they hunt Bigfoot, you know? But people, guys, like Audrey, because that girl right there, Audrey, now,
I've been
back after you went out there to look for the creatures because they were right
they wasn't, but I do got a witness. Lizzie is my witness. I was selling some stuff in the front porch, in the front yard. We have a yard sale. And then I went walking around her property, and I did not talk about Sasquatch. And we had to go through where a tree fell down, so we had to climb through the berry bushes and, you know, sticking us. And we was just talking about how pretty it was. And we came around the corner, and no more than 5 feet to the left of me was a Sasquatch, a youth Sasquatch. So help. I looked over, and I was like, oh, my God. Then she looked over, and we kept walking. I was like, oh, my God. And he was standing there. He was probably 3 inches shorter than me. I'm 5'3", so he was about 5 feet tall. He was 5 feet tall, and he was just standing real still. And he looked down, and then he looked up at me and her, and he smiled, guys. He smiled. And you could see his teeth. Like the two eye teeth were longer than the other teeth, and they were like straight across, like a straight, you know, straight. His teeth were, and he smiled at us. And she looked at me, and she says, and I looked at her, and I was like, oh, my God, he's dead. And she looked at me.
Because he saw two good-looking women, or what was he smiling at?
He could see his face. I was like, oh, my God. Guys, if I could draw it, he was dark. He was young. You can tell he was young. It was a male, definitely a male, and he was covered in hair.
Young male, smiling at a bunch of females. Audrey,
how do you know it's a male?
Well, you could, you know, he was trying to. You could see his, you know, through the hair. You could tell it was his man parts. I was like, oh my God! And she says, oh my God, it was a Sasquatch. And I said, there I go. I got a witness. I finally got a witness. And guys, we came around the other question. Sasquatch.
Audrey, did you just call him man parts? Did you say you saw his man parts?
Yes.
Okay.
I was like, oh my God, what much different than a regular man? I was like, oh. She looked at me. She's like, it's a Sasquatch. And guys, we seen another one at the end of the trail, and we came around, and he was a little bit taller. And then there was another one. I don't know about 5'1", 5'2", because you could tell how tall it was. Guys, I got an 80-foot tree looking dead at it. And she said, look, there's another hairy one. There's another hairy one. I said, it's Sasquatch.
Does he have a male part?
No. I don't know. I couldn't see his male parts there. But, guys, he jumped up. He jumped 30 feet. Like, you squat down and jump straight up like an arrow. He went straight up 30 feet.
Really?
I was like, then the night I seen another one. I pulled in, and I was sitting in the driveway, and I was all depressed.
Hey,
get your bad news.
Audrey, stop. You're going too fast.
They're
big sightable. Now, you just said Bigfoot. Superman jumped 30 feet to what? A tree or what?
He was on the ground, and we could see him from over. She goes, look, there's another one. And I said, I know, there's Sasquatch. I've got a witness. I said, you need to talk to TJ. And she stuck around. I couldn't find my phone. My phone was dead. Yeah, I ain't got no good luck. But it jumped straight up, and I know it was 30 feet. Before he jumped onto the tree, and he went around behind the tree.
Okay.
So where are you? I want to go to her house.
That's what I'm saying, Audrey. Where are you at? Are you in? You in Kentucky, correct?
Well, I guess it's okay to tell it. It's up to TJ.
Yeah, go ahead.
But It says Shepherdsville, Kentucky. And he was then another one was here tonight when I pulled in before dark, and he was laying on the branch. And here's how I know that I said, wow, there's another one. He's laying on the branch. And then all of a sudden, it's like he could sense something. Maybe they do got ASP for real, real. And he backed down the tree, and you could see him. He was good size. And he rolled around the tree and went down the thing. But, guys, these things are just here. And then she went back out there. I was trying to find the phone to call TJ. She went back out there. And Lizzie came back, and she started jumping up and down. She said, honey, you got a herd out there. I said, what do you mean? She said, they was hollering when we was back there, too, guys. I'm not kidding. I take a lie detector. She come back. She says, Audrey, is that you? I said, yeah. She says, honey, she says, they're back there hooping, and it must be at least 20 of them back there. She said, it's a herd. I said, get anybody that I thought
okay.
I was going crazy.
Hey, here's Doyle from Kentucky. What part of Kentucky are you in?
I'm in Shepherd's.
Shepherdsville.
Shepherdsville.
Yeah, Shepherdsville. Uh-huh. Yeah, Shepherdsville, Kentucky.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, I'm from Middlesboro, Kentucky.
Oh, really?
And
cool.
There you
I
go.
Would love to come up to Shepherdsville and check this out.
Well, yeah, you need to.
You have my permission,
like...
Doyle. I'll come with you.
Hell, I'll drive from Texas to go up there and see that.
It's true, guys. They're here.
Well, we're going to be carpooling there.
You're
if
welcome, guys.
If you got close
guys.
Enough to see one's name,
yes,
laying,
I did.
I want to come talk to you.
I did. I was like, that's a male. And he
yeah,
just
might,
smiled at us.
I might take some vacation time and go on this expedition.
Eric will tell you, I've seen 8 months in the same area. I've never had that type of luck. That's phenomenal. It's outstanding.
I know why. She says that then her friends that was helping us take the yard sale stuff away, a black man came in here. He says, they can be invisible. And he says, I knew I smelled something weird in her backyard because we was all talking about it all excitedly. He said, this stuff's real. And he says, they'll follow you. They get on one person's scent and they don't get off. I'm like, well, I guess I'm going to take a good bath. Two or three of them maybe.
Well, they love
to
They love
you. Hey, Tommy, TJ.
Yeah, but there's so many
DJ.
Of them. What's with
okay,
this?
Hold on, Audrey. Hold on. Doyle, go ahead.
TJ, you got to hook me up with this girl because
well,
I'm going.
You get me off
You're
line.
You're more welcome.
Now, guys, this. I got Rocky, the Rocky Slavens from Arkansas on, and he's been too quiet for me this evening. I don't know why. He's back there not saying nothing. Rocky, you with us?
I'm here.
Okay.
The Rocky Slavin!
Hey, Doyle.
Hey, what's up, Rocky?
What are you doing, Rocky Slavin?
I'm doing good. Let me tell you, I'm a little embarrassed.
Well, we're going to talk about that. Go ahead, Rocky. We got 7 minutes.
The other day, I got a thing on the phone. Somebody texted me a photograph and then called me and told me about a sighting he had had about 2 weeks ago. And so, you know, I got the whole story and all that. And I told him I'd have to get back with him. I immediately called Tommy and sent him the picture. Well, okay, I've got a flip phone. So the picture that he sent me is about the size of a postage stamp, and I couldn't tell much about it. So I sent it to Tommy, and to me, a flip phone is technology. Fortunately, Tommy knows what technology is. He called his dad. We all were talking. Tommy was on the computer. Well, come to find out, the old boy sent me a picture of what was supposed to have been a Bigfoot. And I didn't see the picture until yesterday. But, I mean, big enough to where I could tell what it was. But Tommy did his investigative work and found that it was a picture that had been photoshopped and put on the internet in something like 2014 or something like that. Well, me, you know, I don't have technology, Clawhammer's technology. But fortunately, Tommy got on there, and I'd done made an ass myself because I was all fired up, all excited, thinking that this is it. And it's in the door. You remember where we camped?
Yeah.
Okay. It's supposed to have taken place about halfway between there and Lakebed.
Yeah, I remember Lakebed well.
Let me cut in real fast. So, guys, this picture came over to me, and when I first saw it, I was like, oh, my God. Somebody has finally got a picture of a Bigfoot, even though it's running away from him, because it's as clear as day. It's better than the Patterson demo film. I'm thinking to myself, wow, because I'm looking at it on my phone. So I made the mistake of calling my dad and telling him we had something before I even transferred it over the computer, because you know how excited I was about you. And as I transferred the computer and I was moving it around a little bit, I noticed on the bottom of it said like, share, and comment. And I went, wait a minute now. If this came off the guy's phone or cell cam, there'd be no like, share, or comment on the bottom of it. And that's the one thing that made me start going, I've got to dig deeper. Now, my dad's already looking at it going, that's a creature. Get in the car and go. And I'm like, nah, something's wrong, Dad. I got it over to the computer. When you get it off the phone, you could actually see it better and better. The hair wasn't flowing properly into the backside. And I found this like, share, and comment section on it. So I said, Rocky, you got to ask this guy, because tell him he's bullshit, because this is from Facebook or something. And I guess he came up with some crappy story for Rocky that he had Facebooked it over. And come down to it, if I took the picture and I put it to Google Images, if you guys know how to do that, you drop the picture into Google Images, which a group of people that I know, coalition of things for big told me to do, it'll bring up that image wherever it is on the internet. Stuff started popping up in 2012, 2014, yada, yada, yada. Make a long story short, we're cutting here on time. They had taken a gorilla that was in Germany, okay, and photoshopped his top half onto the bottom half of a bear, so the arms would look longer. And this guy tried to get my buddy Rocky with his hoax to try to make him foolish. But we wouldn't let him do that. I told Rocky, you need to call him on the phone and call him a dick, because he gets the Bigfoot Dick Award of the Year for being a Bigfoot hoaxing dick. Because it doesn't matter whether there's technology or not, it gets to the people that need to look at it. We don't just jump onto stuff that people give us. We do our due diligence, and we make sure it's right. And once again,
now,
it's covered.
The last person you want to try to screw over is Rocky Slavin. He's the only man I know that ever stood toe-to-toe with a grizzly bear and beat his ass. I love Rocky Slavin. If anybody ain't seen that on Facebook or YouTube or whatever, you can watch Rocky Slavin with a grizzly bear.
You want to watch
Tommy's got to see the whole thing.
Go to YouTube, type in The Rocky Slavin's Bear Wrestler. It'll show up. Hey, guys, we're coming to an end here. I want to thank all of our listeners. I want to thank Big Clay out there in the machine shop right now. I know you're listening, buddy. Make sure you're paying attention. Don't lose no fingers. I want to thank Eric down in Denton. I want to thank Dee over in Gainesville. My gal, Audrey, down there in Shepherdsville, Kentucky. You never seem to amaze me. I love you, honey. Hey, Big Leo out in North Carolina. Keep up the good work, my friend. And guess what? Mr. Doyle Howcomb down in Kentucky and Rocky in Arkansas. Hey, let's talk Bigfoot next week. Same time, same channel, Wednesday. And remember, hey, Miss Calabas, come and see you some other time.
Well, good night, everybody. Good night, Rocky.
Good night, everybody.
Thanks, everyone.
Well, folks, once again, it's time to say so long. We'd like to thank Mr. Tom Biscardi and his guests and the Bigfoot team for joining us, and we'd especially like to thank you, our listeners, for tuning in. This is Marco Bill saying see you next Wednesday evening for some more Bigfoot Live radio show entertainment with Mr. Tom Biscardi and his team. And until then, keep the Bigfoot live and keep Bigfooting. See you next week.
Three men with a gold and a pack that they'd hold and a promise till the day that they died. Answers to the questions no one's found before. Driving determination, the only key they had to unlock the door. Monsters, myths, and mysteries, legend, tales, and facts. We brought them together, reason for the facts.